Dear Heavenly Father, lead us now as we open the Word of God to look into the precious Word that is the power of God unto salvation, the incorruptible seed that brings the new birth, a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. Direct us as we study. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Now, certainly the Apostle Paul is speaking here of the only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Paul says in Romans 5, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly." Now, such a gift is unspeakable. There are not enough words in all the languages of all the world to describe God's gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, He who came, took our place, died on the cross, that we might be saved by grace through faith, the gift of God, not of works. Beloved, any gift and every gift can be described or valued or measured except the gift of God. It doesn't make any difference what kind of a gift man may give you. It may be $1 million gift, $1 billion gift, or a 10-cent gift. It can be valued, it can be measured, it can be weighed, or it can certainly be described in words. But the gift of God, His only begotten Son, for His enemies, for ungodly sinners, such a gift is unspeakable, indescribable, and measureless. Let me say this about the grace of God today as we discuss the unspeakable gift of God. Let me say this about God's grace. God's grace is measureless. Now, unsearchable riches, Paul said. Paul said that God called him the least of apostles to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of God's grace in Christ Jesus. Unsearchable past finding out. Now, why am I emphasizing unsearchable or measureless? It doesn't make any difference how wicked, how ungodly, how terribly mean a person may be. It takes just as much of the grace of God to save a little child as it does that wicked person, because the grace of God does not come in ounces or pounds or yards or gallons or bushels. The grace of God is the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if you do not have Christ in your heart, you have no hope. You are hopeless, hopelessly lost and without God. If you do not have Jesus in your heart, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So if you're not in Christ and Christ in you, you are hopeless, you're helpless, and you're hell-bound. Now I say that to say this. You can't measure the grace of God, because the grace of God is Christ in you, and that's the hope of glory. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the unspeakable gift that God gave that you and I might escape the damnation of hell. Now let me say this in passing. It takes three things to make a gift possible or to complete the transaction of a gift. Number one, someone who is willing to give, but not only willing to give, but able to give. And that was God. Only God was willing to give, and only God could give the gift that would save you and me. Then there must be a gift to give. It doesn't make any difference how willing I am. If there is no gift to give, then I cannot give. In other words, I may be willing, I may be able, but if there is no gift, if I cannot, I may have money, but if I can't buy a gift, then I can't give a gift. I could give money, but I could not give a gift. I could not give bread or meat or clothes or raiment to keep someone warm. There must be a gift. And so Jesus was the gift and the only gift. It had to be Jesus. No cherubim, seraphim, angel, prophet, priest, king. There was no one, beloved. It had to be Jesus. He said, "I am the door. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending, the author of salvation, the author of saving faith, and the finisher of saving faith. It had to be Jesus. So he is the gift God gave, and Jesus is the gift. But it doesn't make any difference how able and willing one may be, and he may have many gifts to give, but if there is no one to receive, then the gift, the transaction, can never be completed. But that's where you and that's where I come in. That is, you receive them. I receive the gift of God, and that's salvation. Beloved, a gift, if we pay for it, if we labor for it, if we merit the gift by something that we do or something that we give in return, then the gift is killed, it is destroyed, and it's not a gift. Now, the grace of God does not incur debt on our part to God. Now, here's what I'm saying. When God saves us, God doesn't save us and say, now you owe me this or you owe me that. We owe God nothing except to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. God wants our love. You can't pay God for grace. You can't work enough to merit grace. You can't give enough to merit grace. And you can't live enough to merit grace. Is unearned, undeserved, and without favor. God saves us by, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when we receive him by faith, then God writes our name in the family register. We become a child of God, an heir of God, and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, I want us to turn to the first epistle of Peter, and then we're going back to 2 Corinthians. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, we read these words, beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according, now watch this, according to his abundant mercy, God's abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Whom having not seen, I've never seen Jesus, whom having not seen, ye love. I love him, I've never seen him, but I love him, in whom, though now you see him not. No, I don't see him now. I'm here in this studio. I'm preaching the gospel into this microphone, and it's going out over the stations across America. But I do not see Jesus. I'm preaching Jesus. I love him, and I know he's here, and I know he's in my heart, but I cannot see him. But watch it now. Though we do not see him yet now, yet believing, and that's faith, believing, ye rejoice with joy. What kind of joy? Ye rejoice with joy that is unspeakable. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Hallelujah. We do not see him. I have not seen Jesus. I do not see Jesus now, but I have faith in Jesus. I believe on Jesus. I'm trusting in Jesus, and I rejoice with joy that is indescribable. There are not enough words in all the languages of all the world to describe the joy that our salvation brings. Now listen, I'm not sarcastic nor sacrilegious when I say any person that tells you how you're supposed to feel when you get saved, they are advertising their inexcusable Bible ignorance. The joy that salvation brings is unspeakable. Don't let anybody tell you how you're supposed to feel when you get saved, because the joy that comes into one's heart when one believes unto salvation is indescribable, immeasurable, it cannot be measurable, unknowable. It is past finding out. That is, so far as words, putting it down on paper, defining, that is, writing out a definition of the joy that salvation brings, is unspeakable. That is, it cannot be put down in words. So don't let anybody tell you how you're supposed to feel. Well, now you say, Brother Green, don't you believe in a heartfelt salvation? I've just told you. I have just told you that the joy that salvation brings is unspeakable, indescribable. You cannot describe it in words. Why? Because Christ in you brings joy that is just as unspeakable as the gift of God. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable joy, the joy that salvation brings. Now let me say this. If you profess to be a child of God, saved by grace, and you do not have joy, and you do not have peace that passeth understanding, and joy that passeth word, the description that words can bring, or put down on paper, or define. If you do not have a deep settled peace and a deep joy, then I say you do not have Jesus in your heart. Because when Jesus comes into your heart, He'll bring joy. I didn't say you'd shout. I didn't say you'd wave your arms. You may, and you may not. I didn't say you'll weep. You may, and you may not. I didn't say you'll laugh. You may. You may laugh. You may clap your hands. You may not. But I tell you one thing that I can guarantee. When Jesus comes in, fear goes out. Joy comes in. Anxiety goes out. Peace comes in. And I can assure you that your heart will give you assurance that you are saved by God's grace because of the peace, because of the joy, and because of the glory that comes into your heart when Jesus comes into your heart by faith. Now, I believe in a heartfelt salvation, but I do not believe in telling people how they will feel when they're saved, because salvation is not by feelings. Salvation brings feelings. That is, joy, if you want to call it feelings. I don't particularly like the word, but if you want to use the word, it's all right with me. Salvation brings joy. Now the jailer, when he was saved, he sat at the table at midnight with Paul and Silas, and they ate meat, and the Bible says he rejoiced with all of his house, believing the word of God. So you see, the joy that salvation brings is not always expressed in outward emotion. It may be down deep in the heart. But I repeat, if you do not have joy, you do not have Jesus, because where Jesus is, there's joy. And Colossians 1:27 declares, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Unspeakable gift, unspeakable joy, and we're going to a place that is indescribable. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one was caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Jesus said to the thief, today we're going to paradise. Now listen. How that this man was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Paul said, I knew a man about 14 years ago. Now, whether he was in the body, Paul said, I don't know. Out of the body, I don't know. But such a man was caught up into the third heaven. He was caught up into paradise. And he heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for man to utter. Now, again, I'm not sarcastic, I'm not sacrilegious, I'm not taking issue with anyone. But I've read in pamphlets testimonies given by men and women who declare that they went to heaven and then they come back down and they write what they saw. It's a strange thing to me that the Apostle Paul, and we believe that this was Paul, he was stoned and dragged outside the city for dead at Lystra. And the believers got around Paul, they stood around him and prayed, and most outstanding Bible scholars of the past believe that God raised Paul from the dead. He actually died, And when Paul wrote these words, he was testifying concerning himself. He was stoned. He actually died. The believers prayed and God raised him. And that certainly happened in that day. Paul prayed and God raised a young man that was taken up dead. Now, Paul was caught up into paradise. And he heard words that are unspeakable. It's against the law to speak them. And yet we have people today who will tell you that they've been to heaven and they've come back to tell you what they saw. Listen, beloved, just as surely as our salvation is indescribable, that is, men's words cannot describe the gift of God, men's words cannot describe the joy that salvation brings, and there are not enough words in the English language to describe the paradise where Jesus is and where we are going when we depart this life. Hallelujah, glory to God. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Have you received the gift of God? Do you know the joy of God? And are you going to the paradise of God? If you're not, you can receive the gift of God right there in your home, in your place of business, wherever you are right now. It doesn't make any difference where you are. If you feel down deep in your heart the need of a Savior, receive the gift of God, the unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll give you joy and peace that words cannot describe. And then if you die today, or 10 years from now, or 25 years from now, Jesus should tarry, you'll go to paradise, the place where Paul said the words are unspeakable, and it's against the law for man to use words like he heard in paradise. Receive the gift of God now. Let Jesus come into your heart right now. Father, honor the precious word, the name of Jesus, and save every precious soul that's under conviction, O God. Redeem that poor sinner that's calling upon you now. Reclaim the backslidden. Revive the indifferent. And help us, O God, those of us who are born again, to give thanks to God this day and every day for God's unspeakable gift. In Jesus' name, amen.